In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And I'm reading from 2 Timothy 3, because it's really very important to know this. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures, more than lover of God. Now, I know that that could characterize many, many, many societies and many, many, many ages, but my Lord, talk about a thumbnail description of what we're facing in these days today. Let's hear it again. In the last days, perilous times shall come. First of all, the word perilous. For men should be lovers of their own selves. It's all about me. I know that was from Adam and Eve. It was all about them, but my Lord, this is the me generation. We have a president that's so steeped in himself that it's kind of, it's kind of sad. He's from the me generation, you know. It's all about him. We don't have watch television. It's all about you. It's all about me. You know, put some stuff on your eyes and you get rid of the wrinkles. You know, and all of a sudden, presto changeo, you're 25 years younger. It's interesting, you know, it's all about us. If you use this toothpaste, you know, you're going to have the most beautiful smile. Now they've got something you put on your teeth so that look like you have all these white teeth. It's all about me. It's all, you know, lovers of their own self. Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, yeah. Mm-hmm. I won't. Yeah, I'll tell you won't. You will. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Well, gay marriage. Truce breakers. My Lord, look at all the promises that Mr. Obama made. Oh, we're going to lower your taxes. We're going to pay for your college, and we're going to have this spendiferous, whatever it's called, and it's all this money, billions of dollars that we're given, you know, for pig farms and bridges that go nowhere, and nothing's happening, you know. We have 9.5% of unemployment, you know. Breakers of truces, yeah, he's a truce breaker. False accusers, yeah. He goes to Italy and says, you know, we've not been perfect. Well, you don't have to tell people you have not been perfect, my Lord in heaven. Give me a break. Why do you hate the United States so much? But not only the president, but, you know, you go to these colleges, you know, it's like it's people hate the United States. Well, you know, if you hate it, leave it. Just leave it. If you hate this place, just leave it. That's all. You don't like the place, good, go someplace else. That's fine. Go someplace else. If you hate the country, go someplace else. That's all. You know, it's the way it is, you know. Yeah, you don't throw down your own country. You know, this is the country that everybody hates, but everybody wants to come here. But, you know, give me a break. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of God. That one out the window. Lovers of God. I don't know who loves God anymore. I remember the Baroness de Hewitt Doherty, when I went to many years ago to a conference, she gave a talk about the necessity of the priest bringing people to Jesus and to God. the necessity, because people are hungry for God. And you can't love them unless you know them. Lovers of self rather than lovers of God, you know. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Yeah. We're living in those days. Listen to this. The next one is really about all the churches having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. You know, it's very interesting that when there is no power, the church is dead. We have the power to absolve, but nobody comes to confession. You know, we have the power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And after the children receive First Communion, we don't see them again. Jesus gave the apostles the power to go out to heal. But I don't know who's healing. I can tell you a couple of stories just happened just a couple of days ago. Having a form of religion, but denying its power. But you see, I'm going to compare the form of religion without power. Go to a funeral home, and you'll see the form of religion without power. It's a dead person. That's just the picture. You know, there's nothing in the dead person, no breath. No strength. They're just dead. So when you have a form of religion without power, what you've got is a dead person, a dead body. You know, it's the year of the priest. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody told the priest that he has power? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the priest started believing that he has power? That power has been left to us from Jesus through the apostles. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we talked about power? When Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes," he didn't say doctrine. He said power. I believe in doctrine. But he didn't say you're going to receive doctrine when the Holy Ghost comes. He said you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Well, a form of godliness, but denying the power, you know. We get our seminarians to hold their hands just right. You got to hold your hands just right with your fingers pointing to heaven. Well, you know what? Give me a royal break. I don't care how you hold your hands. I want to know if you know the power. I want to know if you know Jesus. Then you can hold your hands any way you want to hold them, because it really doesn't make a difference. I want to know how much you love God. Then you can hold your hands any way you want. But you see, it's a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Denying the power thereof. And to deny the power of the Holy Spirit is to go to a funeral home and see a dead man or a dead woman. They're dead. No breath. No power. No life. Well, you know, that's just the way it is. And it doesn't have to be that way. 2 days ago, four of us, Father Raymond and Nick and I and Father Martin, went to visit Christopher. Christopher has the swine flu. And we prayed and we sang and we prayed and we sang and we left. The next day, because Christopher was in a coma, Daddy said to Christopher, "I'm leaving now, but Mommy will be coming in." And the kid shook his head for the first time. And then the father said, "Do you like the music I've been playing?" And he shook his head, "No." This is great progress. this great progress. And any progress is great progress. You know, I was convinced when I was a seminarian. I went to Joe Costa's ordination to the diaconate, to his little party at his home. This is 100 years ago, okay? I'll never forget it. I had all these Portuguese ladies there, and the only thing they kept on saying to Joe was, would you pray for me? Just keep praying for me. And I realized that that's what the people are looking for, men of God that will pray for them. Not only priests, but people that will pray for them. As the Baroness de Hewitt-Doherty said, who will bring people to Jesus? Like, who will pray with people? You know, you don't have to do it my way, you know. You just have to do it. You know, you don't have to copy me. You just have to do it. Think about it now. Christopher was in a deep coma, and he responded. But Lord, you've got to bring him out of the coma. It's a medical coma, and you've got to get him out of that swine flu, and you've got to build up his immune system, Lord, and you've got to send him home. The child has suffered enough. Because you're God Almighty. Now, Wednesday, we were at the espousal retreat house. All right? Now, Lydia, someone who hears me, I believe in Iowa, she had called me up and told me that her daughter Lexi had a tumor in her intestine. Now, Daddy, Lydia's husband, Jay, is a doctor. He felt the tumor. The daughter felt the tumor. Another doctor felt the tumor. So they called me on Wednesday afternoon, would I pray at the espousal? So I started preaching at the espousal. You know, I preached a storm up. So they were listening to the preaching. Then after I preached, we began to pray for Lexi, that this tumor would break up. That's what we prayed, that the tumor would break up. She went for colonoscopy and for CAT scan, and the tumor is gone. The tumor is Okinawa. It's gone. Like, you know, this is how can I tell people that a priest, that this is your ministry? How can I tell bishops that this is your ministry? You don't have to get people better. You just have to believe that God's going to work through your prayer, as broken as we are. Well, the mother is just so filled with rejoicing that her daughter had a tumor, and it was a hard tumor, but that's not all the thing that happened. As Daddy was praying over his daughter, he asked his wife, while we were praying, I was saying the words, you know, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood be healed. I had everyone say the words. We're just declaring healing in the name of Jesus. So Jay, who is Dr. Jay, said to his wife, did you sense anything while we were praying? She said, no, I didn't sense anything. He said, I had a warmth all around my neck. And you know, Jay gets these terrible migraine headaches that start from his neck that go into his head. Well, he's free of them. So he got the overflow. You know, like, what does it take to call somebody up while you're having a service and pray? Like, what does it take? Doesn't take much. Takes a little faith. that God's going to work. You can't make God do these things. I can't make Jesus do these, but we can ask him and we can declare it as done through the cross. But you see, who's going to do it? Because having a form of godliness but denying the power is not good enough. Because Jesus left us power. He left us the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, you know, how can I encourage people to lay hands upon the sick and pray with faith? How can I encourage people just to do it? Because, you see, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. How important it is not to deny the power that we have been given, not electricity, but the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Blessed Trinity. The anointing does all these things. The presence of God does all these things. And you know, the only thing you can do is to pray to lead people to Jesus and let them pray. Because you know, when we went to the hospital and saw poor Christopher, he's a special child, you know, and there he is in this coma that they set up because he's got the swine flu, and he also has leukemia, which is in remission. Last time we went to pray with him, he was sick, and after we prayed with him, he threw up all the phlegm. You know? I don't have any special powers other than Jesus said, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. Jesus gave them authority. We who are Catholics who believe in apostolic succession, why not believe in apostolic success? Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a price you pay. There's a price you pay. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a price you pay. But when I was a seminarian, the Lord showed me at Joe Costa's house that what the people want is that people would pray with them, pray for them, believe, lead them to the Lord. They don't want much more. You're not just a form of religion. When you think that God inhabits the praises of his people, that God dwells within the hearts of his people, that the Blessed Trinity dwells in my broken heart, when you think about that, my Lord, you see, this is all true. I'm not talking anything cerebral, that God dwells in our hearts if we believe. Therefore, when I touch people with love, God touches them through me. I can't get them better, but I can pray and declare healing now. Then it's up to the Lord. Now the big question is, why isn't everybody healed? I'm going to tell you, I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, we've just buried this beautiful young woman with a beautiful baby. We prayed with her and believed. She's gone home to God. I don't understand. I'd be a liar if I told you I understood. But I do know we have been entrusted with power. I do know Jesus promised healing. I do know that. And more than a form of religion, more than a form of godliness. For a form of godliness without the power is death. Now, you don't have to do it the way I do it, okay? You don't have to be singing hallelujah, okay? Maybe you're just quiet. You don't have to do it my way. The flavors are all different. You can have a different flavor. But that you do it. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. I told you there was a young man who came to California with me. Now, he knew nothing about the healing ministry. But now, in his music ministry, he's praying for people to be healed and declaring it, and they're getting healed. My Lord! But, you see, again, you know, we center on the incidentals. You've got to have your hands and your fingers toward heaven when you pray. Give me a break. You got to know the power. You've got to know the Lord. You've got to be surrendered to Jesus. You've got to be repentant. Your heart must belong to Daddy. And then put your hands toward heaven. You see, then you can put your hands toward heaven. There's no problem then. I have no problem with your hands being toward heaven, pointed up as you pray. But the whole thing is you got to know Daddy. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to know the power. You've got to know His presence. You've got to know the Holy Ghost. Other than that, it's just a form, and forms don't get you very far anymore. Maybe in the 50s, forms worked. 2009. We are living in an age called the last day. Perilous times. Where we have lovers of people, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. They mention the name of Jesus. I've never heard it mentioned so often in swears. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. Yeah. Thank you, Massachusetts and Vermont. Truce breakers. Obama. False accusers. Yeah. It's all Bush's fault. Incontinent. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If you don't know the power now, my Lord, you better find that Holy Ghost, because you know what? You're not going to get very far without Him. Believe me, it's as simple as that. This Sunday, we're looking for young people to come to the Holy Rosary. We're going to be having a time of worship, a time of praise, and it's really wonderful, a time of really joining in to adore the Lord. And we're really looking for young people to come 7:30 this Sunday. Everybody is invited, but especially young people. Please bring young people. We need young people to come. Please bring young people, for heaven's sake. Yes, for heaven's sake, please bring young people. It'll be 7:30 to about 9 o'clock, and then we're going to continue to praise the Lord. Why not? There'll be time for confessions, and so on and so forth. And you know what? I do endorse Jimmy the Roofer. I endorse him. And you know what? I don't endorse everybody. You know why? Because my name is too important to endorse everybody. But I endorse Jimmy the Roofer because he's a good guy, a good roofer, and he's inexpensive. So if you're looking to, you know, we've been having a lot of rain and it's been dripping on your what? On your head. Come on now. 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. That's Jimmy the Roofer, and I endorse him. Let me tell you this. I do need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. Because the bills are very high, and if we don't pay our bills, it's goodbye, 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 goodbye. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And for Jimmy again, 617-846-1210. I endorse him. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.